Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments. Aho. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalee, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Hello, everybody. This is Blue Otter coming to you from Booker County and the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And our guest?
Oh, howdy, folks. This is Isla Hatter, thanking you for visiting me in these Smoky Mountains. Why don't you join me for a roadside ramble through wildcrafting.com?
Right now, you or your wife that has the lineage out of bug hunting?
Me.
You do, okay.
And guess what Jerry does, too?
Yeah, I saw the list of names there with the, we saw the Coleman and several others on there, folks that we know. And of course, there's, I'm sure there's, 100,000 descendants by this.
Probably a million by now.
I can imagine with only, one child and how that exponentially increases over
the years. Yeah, well, entire royal house by now everybody in Europe is her descendant. Because the Randolphs married into royal house in England. And so by now, they've all intermarried now they're all.
Well, all the heads of Europe are all related somewhere anyway.
And they're all related to Pocahontas now.
Yeah.
And they married in a lower level, but somewhere in the mix they all got mixed up too. But the Colemans are on there. I've probably got several Pocahontas lines. See, I haven't been through here, but I'm a Wilson. The Wilsons are. I get mine through the Wilsons, but I'm also
because I knew Wilson's wife Edith Bowen was a descendant.
Yeah. The family. Yeah, I just grew up hearing it. The family. They're also related to Mary Queen of Scots, and the Greens. Gardner Green was on 1835 census. The Greens are related to her, so I probably got several. I think just about anybody in the South nowadays.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. We found out that the Cherokee had always known that her mother was Cherokee. We just never had come across anything about it until I guess maybe 5 years ago that we found out that the half wife of Powhatan, or however you say his real name, that last wife was Cherokee, and that's the one who gave birth to his favorite, which was apparently the last child of his, Charles Lockham. And
yeah.
We didn't know that. We said something to the jerk, and
he
says, "Oh, yeah, we
always
knew that."
Yeah, she has a sister. I can't remember what her name is.
Oh, she did, yeah.
Oh, what kind of
sister?
And I can't remember her name right offhand, but she did have a sense of a sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But she was somewhere in the Gilcrease Museum. I'm told that if you go to the Gilcrease Museum in Tulsa and look around, that there's some kind of a display that talks about Kentucky. There's two different spellings, and it means the spring or the well.
Okay. Yeah, because Anna is the word for water, and anything that water and salt, which are two basics of life. Have almost the same word in, it actually spell the same in Cherokee, but they have just a slightly different pronunciation, and they'll tell us what it is, and we go, huh? That's the same word. No, I said it differently, and you go, yeah, sure you did.
Depending on the dialect, either Ama or Amo.
Mm-hmm. And it's just hard to, when you hear them say it, it sounds like the same word, but anyway, I'm thinking about Cherokee language, which is one of the hardest.
And it's interesting, because the family lived... Apparently the village there in Virginia, it was near the Peaks of the Otter, was the village of Amanut. And the word had something to do with it meant Bear Creek, what it means now.
Hmm.
So it was what we understood was that the marriage things were different back then. John Red Hat told me, they fought a war with the mound builders and stopped the war by agreeing to intermarry. Go figure.
Okay. know. Europeans did it.
Huh?
Europeans did that too.
Yeah. And
I didn't my daughter just stop killing my people. Yeah.
And so that was the reason why, that's how they stopped the war. And which today, I mean, that wouldn't be anything anybody would think about doing to stop a war.
Mm-hmm.
It's really strange for a moment there.
Well, it's a interesting thing about the I found out. I think I have a document on it somewhere that I read. I think it's the word Adirondack, which is a little bit south of that, but general area. Adirondack means bark eater. And those were Iroquoian people, you know, in that area. And neighboring tribes observed them getting the sassafras root bark and the wild cherry bark and all these things that they made up for medicines, apparently, and called them the bark eaters, which has survived to this day. And I just tell folks from, you know, how did I end up doing this? I said, well, I just come from a long line of bark eaters. You know, I mean, why wouldn't that be passed down, just like musical abilities and mathematical abilities? And people say, oh, violin, you love violin. Well, you know your great-grandpa was a fiddler and da-da-da-da. And I'm thinking, well, you know, why not other things as well get passed on? Just
well,
affinity for the natural world.
Yeah. Well, my friend White Eagle, he's a grandson of the Eastern Shoshone Chief Washakie, and all his life, White Eagle just had to have a buffalo in the backyard.
Hmm.
And recently he found out that he had some Lakota blood through the greens, and I told him, I said, well, I hate to tell you this, I said, the Chickamauga Cherokee's married into the Lakotas, you know, the ones that didn't want to quit fighting. I said, this year probably Cherokee too. But, if you are, I said, you're a Pocahontas descendant too, because the greens are far fine.
There you go.
But,
well, where is that DNA? It surfaces.
Well, he found out that the familial name in Lakota meant keeper to the buffalo.
Oh,
they were absolutely astounded.
Wow.
That he was so attracted to buffalo. So, there you go.
Yeah. Well, we have a friend over here, Oliver, who is Cherokee, but he couldn't find anybody to teach him old ways because they said they're gone. You know, so all the people that knew really the old stuff was, you got to go to Oklahoma. And he went to Oklahoma, didn't find what he needed out there, and he ended up going out doing Sundance and learning the Lakota ways and coming back to Tennessee, and he does sweat lodges and puts people on the hill for vision quests and that kind of thing. He's done it for years and years and lived very close to the land, and he's been an old friend. He's getting to where it's going to be difficult for him to do sweat lodges because Jerry had to quit due to blood pressure. But anyway, that was, you know, he used to found out that there just wasn't a whole lot that could be continued that you could say were Cherokee old ways. There's just not a lot of folks around that, you know, just didn't get passed on, got separated, and except for the Kutua Society, that's about it. And that's basically out of Arkansas. And they came together. We have that tape of the mother town of the Cherokee when they finally bought the sacred mound back, and now it's in their possession again right here. And they finally brought all three together, the Arkansas group, Oklahoma, and the ones here. And in that tape, the fella from the Kutua in Arkansas says that they had a prophecy that they would be brought together again in some point in the future. You know, kind of like here in Jerusalem, like they do say, and it finally happened.
Did you go to that meeting where in North Carolina where all three principal chiefs were there?
No, I think that's the one that they had after that. They had the dedication ceremony, and then later they had another event where they did have them all.
Uh-huh. Well, John Redhead, my teacher, was the elder that presided over that meeting.
Oh, okay.
Man, he had a kind of a long white beard.
Uh-huh.
Real thin.
Yeah, I have seen that picture in the paper.
Yeah.
I had that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you go to kutua-society.org, you see his picture sitting in a wheelchair next to Chad Smith. Actually, the Kutua band is not the Kutua Society. The Kutua band was was formed by members that Christianized.
Mm-hmm.
And they were from the Ketuvah Society. Nowadays, you know, they're mixed in with traditionals, and you know, but the whole Ketuvah Society movement in the 1850s was started by Cherokee Baptist preachers.
Mm-hmm. That was what surprised Jerry when he was there for that ceremony that they were going to bring the sacred fire back, and this fellow that was the, you know, chairman and presider over, and he explained it all, and he was a Baptist preacher. You know, that surprised him, because he said, I was ready to check it all and embrace what was my Indian heritage, and he said, come to find out, it was all together. It was just a more better explanation of what it was all about, what it meant.
Well, what had happened was Redbird Smith, back in the 1850s, was elected the chief of the Ketuvah Society. The easiest way to explain it is if you separate church from state, the Ketuvah Society is the Cherokee Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a lot of full-blood Ketuvahs who are members of the Ketuvah Society who do not have cards and cannot get cards, because if your ancestors, most of the Ketuvahs are Western Cherokees,
mm-hmm.
and they have a very close affinity with the Chickamauga Cherokees, which is my people,
mm-hmm.
but they generally won't have anything to do with anybody from Tahlequah, and most of the Ketuvah band people are actually from Tahlequah. They actually kind of have two headquarters.
Mm-hmm,
but if for some reason your ancestors didn't walk the Trail of Tears and then didn't come sign the rolls, you're not a Cherokee citizen nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
that's out what the Oklahoma thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yep. Over here, you have to be part of the family to be a part of the Eastern Band. You got to be a descendant of those families that stayed put and either had already renounced and become citizens, or they were the ones that hit out and came forth.
Now you're one of the few people that knows about the apocalypse. So yeah, you're right, because I believe it was 1813. Or 14, the Oconoluftees renounced Cherokee citizenship,
mm-hmm.
took U.S. citizenship in Miles Square reservations, and they were required to hunt down Raleigh's people or lose what they had.
Exactly so. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of funny that, you know, you see the Trail of Tears Museum there in Cherokee, North Carolina, you know, but I understand that some of those people walk back, and
yes.
They are in the rolls.
A lot of those where they say so many people died on the trail, a lot of those are people that simply walk away,
mm-hmm.
who are able to just leave.
There's some
and
walk through.
Melted in the woodwork.
Yeah, there's some that walk through back to Oklahoma.
They do.
And they were coming back as late as the 20s and 30s.
Eww.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, some of the famous families here that what happened is that it took them a year or two, but they walked back from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, I think we told you about that guy that came in to the Solid Manor, to the nursing home, and at lunch, to the lunchroom, and wanted to know about the Trail of Tears, and kept asking, and said, did anybody want to tell me anything about it? And they said, you know, Oklahoma, our people didn't go. We don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the wrong place, boy.
About right. And the really sad thing is that the truly traditional people left in 1721. Some of them went to Mexico, and they went to the base of Zaragoza, where they ended up, and that's where Sequoia found them.
Mm-hmm.
Just before, I think it was 1838, he went down and actually found them, and he was being hunted by the U.S. authority, by the the Mexican authorities and by the Cherokees who were hunting him, because they nobody wanted these people found. And you know, after the Civil War, the Chickamauga Cherokees and others that had gone to Texas, you had joined up with the Kickapoos and a bunch of other people that were, you know, they were known as the Texas Cherokees.
Right.
They came up to South Washington to enroll, and they were forced back by armed U.S. troops.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And, you know, it's now known, and I understand it's even been admitted by Talib Law, there was collusion between the U.S. government and them to keep as many people as they could off of the rolls.
Mm. And then those that Houston had gotten out of there and took them to Texas, when he was out of the state up in, or the country at the time, it was a republic, when he was up in Washington, Mirabeau B. Lamar, who used to be, in my mind, and one of the Texas heroes, but no longer. He came around and wiped them all out.
Yeah.
And the Indian to him was a dead Indian. Good Indian was a dead Indian. And they thought that he was building a power base. And so they just came along and these peaceful citizens and been through so much already, and they just probably massacred them.
Well, they had $2.5 million
land grant. Yeah. I mean, he agreed again.
Yeah. Mirabeau Lamar was governor of Georgia during that, or is he the governor of Georgia or was from Georgia at that time? But he was the second governor of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
An Indian hater.
And
Houston had been adopted by John Jolly.
Yeah.
And married his daughter.
Right.
So they got, you know, they're really, the ones that went to Mexico and stayed, even though some of them were caught and forced back across the border with not even the clothes on their back totally naked. But the ones that ended up in Mexico were really and got to stay were the only ones that really escaped. They also kept their culture.
And that's just the part we were trying to find, wasn't it, with that bunch down there?
Mm-hmm.
I think he actually died probably in Texas territory, didn't he?
Well, the...
it was Mexico at the time, but...
Actually, the Cherokees headed for the base of the Rocky Mountains, which is just below the Big Bend area of Texas, in Zaragoza, and that is where Dr. Charles Gattoli, or King Fisher Rogers, went looking. Actually, they were, his family was the first family that went to Texas in traditional garb, even though hundreds of people had been down there. They were the first that went down traditional garb. And the people at the hacienda saw those Cherokees and said, well, they recognized them as Cherokees. So they said, oh, well, you're the first bunch of people to show up here that look like Cherokees. So guess what? We're going to take you to the cave work and show you his tomb. So these folks showed them to the tomb, and they had a prophecy that well, Sequoia apparently had told them, you know, who to expect and how to expect them. And the folks can read about that at CherokeeNationMexico.com. So it's a fascinating story. And,
did you ever come across the story by Traveler Bird?
Yeah. Tell them to lie.
Yeah. That was, I found mention of it in a storybook that he wrote, which was a children's story from his grandfather. And at the end of that book, he talks about this other, just briefly, this other story about this is why Sequoia was out there looking for the remnants of the, what had started the tribe society in Cherokee. And it was an interesting theory, and I was looking for the rest of the other book, and he disappeared from all local libraries. The copy doesn't exist anywhere. Nobody, and we're in Snowbird Mountains. We're here where his grandpa lives, and nobody will say anything about Traveler Bird's grandpa or acknowledge who this guy is or was at all. I did find one person who did know him who met Traveler Bird and knew what he was fixing to write. And he was writing, and Sequoia was his hero, and he didn't want anything to the theory, the idea that Sequoia came up with this totally on his own. But he was writing a book about Sequoia, so he wouldn't just travel to the time of day. And apparently the people themselves, I guess, eventually, wherever the book turned up, it politely disappeared. So I've since talked to a fellow who teaches Cherokee studies. He's a white man, but he teaches over at the Western Carolina University, and he sent me a long piece of part of his book that he's writing, which has a lot of refuting statements about the theory couldn't be true because of A, B, and C. I don't remember this moment, but just curious if you had come across that and what you thought about it.
Well, he was definitely tried for witchcraft, and and I guess what Traveler Bird had said was that they cut off his ears, and that the picture that everybody sees of him is not, at least know the name of the person that was supposed to be the model. And,
yeah, it was somebody else.
But
it rings of something like the Mormon story about place, you know, and finding writing and
well,
the knowledge of that. And
we did. It's too bad your friend that came back to Oklahoma looking for the old Cherokee ways. See, back in the 60s, there was a fellow here in Missouri, Richard Craker. He went to the Will Rogers Indian Club. And back then, all the Cherokee people were more interested in Cheyenne ways than they were in their own ways. And there was one old Ottawa-y still alive. And so, that Ottawa-y agreed to teach Grandfather Richard. And Grandfather Richard is the last Ottawa-y now, and he lives pretty close to Springfield, Missouri, and he's the spiritual leader for the White River and Sac River bands, the Chickamauga Cherokees. He's Cherokee and Quapaw in German, and but he's kind of the grandfather, and the There still are soft dance grounds in Oklahoma. What happened was, at some point in his life, Fred Bird Smith decided that he was going to revere Jesus, not worship him, but they actually adopted Jesus into the Ketula Society. See, the Ketula religion, it's basically Christianity without a redeemer. And then at that point, one of his sons, I believe it was Stokes, took half of the fire and all the wampum belts and left, got angry with their father, and they went and started another stomp dance ground. I understand that ground was called, of all things, the Redbird Smith Ground. And that kind of explains why, if you go to ketuwa-society.com, ketuwa-society.org, excuse me, you can watch a video. It's a one-hour video that was shot back in 1984. Bill Jones of WJRH TV Bill got permission to shoot that documentary, and you'll notice in there that Chief William Smith had to have the Waffen belts delivered. Well, that's because they don't reside at the Stokes Smith ground anymore. They were taken away by Stokes Smith to the new ground. So you got family infighting, which was all prophesied, and over this and that and the other, and you know, you get two Cherokees together. You know, the old saying around Missouri is you get two Cherokees together, and you know, after an hour, you're going to have five tribes. Try, you know, which is really kind of sad. But there still are Ketuwa Society in the stomp grounds are still Oklahoma. And there's Chickamauga Cherokee stomp grounds in various places in Missouri. And there's secret stomp grounds all over the South and Southeast. You know, wherever there was Cherokee people.
Was brought it up in Cherokee, and a lot of the preachers in the churches said that they'd be, what a bad term is, excommunication, that they would lose their membership in the church if they were known to be a part of that. So they were telling them, you can't be Christian and Indian both. You got to do one or the other. And that was a sad thing, which is why it made it very difficult for the stomp dance to ever really have a whole lot of the Native people as part of it. It ended up attracting a lot of people from outside descendants, or those who want to be descendants, who came to be a part of it.
Will, have you mentioned Roski Smith?
Stokes Smith?
No, it's Roski Crosland and...
Yeah, his sons, yeah.
Anyway, they came here and brought a Ketuwa here. And brought it from Walker Calhoun and got it out of Bitco.
Mm-hmm. So I understand.
And so I didn't know if that was the same bunch or... Didn't say it hasn't done well here at all. It's real interesting. This guy named Russ Townsend that they hired from Telequar, his PhD in cultural preservation, but basically what he does is now this tribe's got tons of money, and I mean like $160 million a year. They're going around and excavating everywhere. They're doing a lot of good, and they're also meddling a lot, but anyway, whenever they do a ceremony for the entire tribe here, they bring a group in from Oklahoma to do the stomp instead of using Walker and the Lutheran. So, interesting stuff.
Yeah, something. You've got basically nowadays, I understand there's either three or four stomp grounds, plus the four mother stomp grounds. There used to be, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 stomp grounds back when Redbird Smith was alive. And if you go to the Ketuwa Society, ketuwa-society.org, and click on the word factions at the top of the page is a full explanation of what happened and who split with whom. And the sad thing is that the Ketuwa Society was told that Chief William Smith in that video admitted that the Ketuwa Society is the chief medicine society or chief tribe of all the tribes in North America, and if any message were to come through for all the tribes that would come through the Ketuwa Society. And they were also told back in the 1850s and 60s that they were supposed to bring all of the nations together and back to Great Spirit. But, you know, starting in 1866, the suicide basically hasn't gotten off the dime since the end of the Civil War. So John Red Hat Duke took it upon himself. He was a member of the Long Hair Clan, which was the spiritual core of the Cthulhu Society. He took it upon himself to get the society off the dime. And then he died. And one of the things he did was he was the founder of the idea of Prophecy of Radio, which we started that up about a month after he passed away. And he was the elder behind Prophecy Keepers and Wovoka.com also. And he was the guy that put the bug in Chad Smith's ear, that ended up with Chad Smith putting out the press release that it's time for Cherokees to quit calling other Cherokees that don't have cars and wannabes. Because you have people like the head of the Cherokee Elder Society, Paul Thomas, and Paul will tell you if he was born 50 miles north of where he was, he wouldn't have a card either. And he fully accepts that 90% of the people that say that they're Cherokee are Cherokee. And what's the big deal anyway? The big deal is made over citizenship, and then basically once the people lost the culture, which happened about 1880, then here recently, beginning basically in the 70s, the Cthulhu Band had their federal recognition in 1949, and then the Cherokee Nation got their recognition. But only as a Class 3. They weren't. The Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma is recognized as a Class 3 Indian organization rather than a Class 1 tribe. But they've exerted authority over more people, and the more people you have, and more money you have flowing. So basically, they kind of. I understand, particularly in the Mankiller. Administration, they kind of strong arm and want to dictate what everybody should think as to what the culture consisted of. And at one point, there was a joint resolution. I guess it was made about 1995. A joint resolution made by the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma and the Eastern Band. Naming all of the unrecognized Cherokee groups that had signed a Cherokee Unity Statement in 1994, excoriating the states of Alabama and Georgia for recognizing state-recognized tribes, which are really kind of ridiculous because the first, and some people nowadays don't like the idea of state-recognized tribes, but hey, there's state-recognized tribes that predate the United States of America in Maine, in Virginia, possibly elsewhere.
There's five in Alabama, that's where I'm from.
That's the one in the tribes I belong to. And they're all a mess.
Well, it's just in the newspaper about this.
Let me throw some things at you. We are so dictated here by the administration of the tribe, and it's really interesting. But anyway, that's not the end of this. When we first came up here, we met a fellow named Bill Jackson, who was one of the first guys up here to have a master's degree, but he came from a very traditional family here in Snowbird. And Bill was the one who told us, if you're not going to find anybody that knows it all, you're going to find a little here, a little there, that kind of thing. And unfortunately, in the 15, 16 years we've been here, we have seen so many of the old people die and go away. So even more,
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Blueauer speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
From what we were told by a fellow who's also passed away, that saw the rolls, he said there are about 12,000 people here, Cherokee, that are known as part of the Cherokee, and about 8,700 of them are full blood. But what's happening now is they're really bearing down on the 116th blood quotient, and even some of them have required to do DNA. And an awful lot of families now that have been here for 160 years with him. The blood quotient is going away as they move more and more into other societies, other ethnic groups, including white. They're basically going to have leak, according to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came up here, the chief was Jonathan Taylor. He was half Cherokee and half black. And it was a known fact that he would take anybody who offered it to me, even $5 to put you on the road, because he said, here's more people we got, more money we get. Now that sounds derogatory, but Jonathan did do a couple of things for people. He couldn't read or write, but anyhow, what they're doing now is they're going through and getting rid of the DNA to the white ones. And some ought to go, I'll be honest with you, that. And they found the ruler they used to have that if anybody married an Indian woman, that guy got $3,000 on the benefits of the living. Well, that's no longer the case. So a lot of changes are going on here. They're trying to clean it up, if you will. Just like Nancy said one day, she said, you're one of all these people showing up with choker zone and ponytails and what the violent Indian elders learn from us. Well, maybe I said, well, do any people still represent village and community and togetherness? They've got to keep the harmony of that people. She's very much still fairly strong. But anyway, it's that kind of dynamic that goes on here, and it's a real resurgence that there's so many people with the advent of the museum being built in Washington, a renaissance of Indian thought, if you will. There are many, like I mentioned the other day, we know that there's at least 29 million descendants of Indians in this country. And many of them now are beginning to embrace that. They don't necessarily want to learn all the ways, but they're proud of it. What is an embarrassing thing is that a person of color, you know what they do from the South like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing that in these mountains, we have 800 resistant herbs here, and many of them have yet to even be
perfected.
Mm-hmm. So I'm real interested now to learn more about Indian medicine, but maybe you'll tell you that there's very, very few people who know medicine.
Did you know?
Sorry. Interesting thing. I was with Walter when they brought on Goski and Hickory and Crosby and brought the Strong Dance back to here. And it was an unfortunate thing because when we got ready to do the Strong, nobody knew what to do except for the people. They were wonderful. I mean, they were happy and cheerful. There's a lot of apathy here by the Eastern Band of Cherokee. And it was quite a thing to see these people being exposed, many of them for the first time, to the Strong. And yet, on the other hand, maybe they're 83, and many of them, you know, they're in their 80s and 90s. they still do, or used to do that way, they remember mule songs and mule dances.
Uh-huh.
You know, really it never went away, because you get lost in these mountains, a lot of them did that. And it's just by living here, we live on so much, it's like where we live here, if you walked out about 200 yards, there's a big open ground there, and that's where they just pushed off by that, it's safe to come out after the remote. And this is actually where the Union started, was right here, store. And then when Will Thomas walked the land over there on the face of the mountain, that's where they all went to the end. So, just, we have heard so many stories, so many different ideas and opinions, and we just sort of have made our minds a long time ago to spend most of our time with the people like Dennis Chickaleri and Ira Rattler. With the sweetheart we missed, we know all the kids, and one of her kids is Ella Bird, and her dad was Stallman Bird, of her grandfather. And it came from Maggie Petrosian. And Maggie Petrosian was 116 when she died about 7 or 6, 7 years ago. And she spoke both English and Cherokee, and she did medicine on both whites and English. But see, that's something that happened here in Snowbird, which is 50 miles away from the Cherokee Reservation. This is still considered reservation land, but there's a 50-mile no-man's land between the two of them. And that gal would walk every day to Cherokee to take the minutes of the council, the Cherokee councilman, and put it both in the chamber and Cherokee. So, we got to the point where we just started spending more time with them and listening to them and supporting them and that kind of thing. And it's been good, but they'll all tell you so much has been lost. So much has been lost over the years.
Sure has.
Moving and trying to say what people do still remember for. You know, medicine or plants that they, you know, wild plants that they eat, and it's true. I find a little bit of it in one family and another in another, and it might be the same, it might be different, and it's really hard. There would be no way that I could write a book that says here's the list of Cherokee medicine plants, because it's different depending on each family.
And that's going out in the thing that we just did. Somebody brought us a book, a thesis that had been lost for gosh 50 years. That was done by Dr. William Banks from the University of Tennessee. He said he was a student of Dr. Sharp. At any rate, Eileen brought this thing to us, and we took it to the tribe. They didn't want it, and we took it to the National Park, and they published it. And on the plains of Cherokee, 14 elders that he came and studied with when he did his thesis on the ethnobotany of Cherokee. And it's probably the most up to date.
It was the first thing done since Mooney had gone and went and talked to the folks. And these people were all gone now. A lot of it wasn't passed to their children. So it's an important document. And he said the same thing. And here is, and I've since met Dr. Banks. And he said, I'll bet you found the same thing I did, was that. That every family knew the same plants, but they know what different uses for them. And I said, exactly so. So we did the best we could and documented what was known at the time and wrote the different ways that we could use the different things. Some people would know a certain plant that I know of as a seaport, which is like a mountain horseradish, and some would know to use it for medicine, and some would only know it as a food plant.
What do you call it?
Mm-hmm.
And another interesting dichotomy here, if you want to look at it that way, Cherokee Reservation as such is Cherokee that we think of, and only 6,000 live on it. The other 5 live off the reservation where they work and they call their own homes. But they still have land on the reservation. And then over here, 50 miles due west of Cherokee, is Snowbird,
KPL.
And then you've got 50 miles south of us here is Murphy or Tremonti, and that's the other part of the reservation. So we could say that a lot of people don't realize that. But Lois told us way before she died, she said, you're most of the safest sites are from here down into Georgia, not necessarily over there in Georgia.
Okay, that explains why my wife, the first time we visited North Carolina, we were together. You know, we were down around staying with a family near, well, at Black Mountain. Swannanoa. And then we went over the reservation. And, I mean, that was all nice and pretty. And then, I can't really tell you where exactly, but once we started going to western North Carolina, that's when she started having this overwhelming feeling that she was home.
That's where we are. It is, and I agree with you, Gordy. This place over here is awesome. And to give you an idea, they talk over here about the Jewish people, the little people,
mm-hmm.
the community, the spirit world,
mm-hmm.
and all the mystical stories, the spirit thing, and all of it. Lord, man, we've got so much stuff, and we can gather it up. We're like you, you're broken preacher now, so we got so much stuff we can send to you. There's a fellow named Fred Bradley, did you, friend, has been from...
Fred? Okay, I was getting ready to ask you if you knew him.
Oh, about 9 years.
He's done 7 tapes, cassette tapes.
Do you have them?
Well, the reason why I asked is because he's Robert Gosol's contact back there. And,
He was here not long ago.
I don't know, Robert? Who you talking about? Fred?
Fred was over here.
Yeah, Robert knows him, and they're have y'all ever heard of an old book called the Cherokee Book of Cures?
I don't remember.
Cherokee Book of Cures.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so, no.
Well,
I don't believe
I've been talking. Next time you see Frank, might ask him about it.
Alright.
Whose grandmother's mentioned it? Because it does exist. It does exist. And, that's probably all I should say about now.
Okay.
But we get off the interview, I'll tell you some more, because I don't have...
Yeah.
I can't talk about it.
We'll take it up with Fred, yeah. Fred came to the welfare governors when I did a lecture and was announcing the printing of this book and introducing him to the folks that he was his grandmother that's one of the people interviewed in that book for.
I'll tell you what, we'll send you a copy of the book, okay?
Oh, that'd be wonderful. But the other thing I was going to say...
Now, I don't think Fred would mind and send me a little doing. I'll make you a copy of these 7 cassettes of all the storytelling.
Okay.
The reason that Fred is significant is that he studied his grandfather, his Choctaw grandfather, Choctaw Cherokee in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
They shipped him back and forth from there to his grandfather here, his grandfather here, Henry Bradley, was the chief of the tribe in 1950. And it was his Mrs. Henry Bradley that contributed a lot to this Cherokee branch book that he just published.
Wow.
So, I mean, you see how all this works?
Yep.
I mean, we could not and we does not ever claim any of this. It just keeps happening. When we ended up in Snowbird, we lived on the res for the first year that we were here in Graham County. And Gil Jackson is a guy that told us that if you go out to Henry, my brother just got alcohol yet again, he might get help. And boy, we learned a bunch. We studied Cherokee. We lived with these little, small group of traditional people and still do for the last 12 years.
Wow.
And then when you live with them, you soak it up. You hear the real story. And there are places up above where we live, and Carolyn Burton was the one telling us about it. If you go up there at a certain time in the evening, you can hear them. You can hear them still singing and dancing up there. I mean, there's magic in these mountains. It's just absolutely different. If you're right welled up to that spirit when she came through here, I can totally understand because these spirits are alive and well here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Cherokee legends. We have all those books with those stories, and some of those lessons take place here in this area, and there's still stories of people that we know today that they'll talk about the army used to eat the little people, and they, because we're in such a wilderness area, it's just that they believe they exist.
I'm not giving away anybody's medicine, but it's like we were told if you're having a hard time making a decision, you get up in the morning and you take dew off of a plant, you put it over your eyelids, and it'll help you to see clear to make right decisions. Or if you've had a nightmare, your children have had a nightmare, you get them up, take them to a flowing stream, take water, put 4 times on your head, 4 times on your heart, and stomach your mouth, and let it go. and it will remove that charge, it will remove that spirit. This is the kind of thing that we just, I mean, once they know you, we were here, gosh, I guess 3-4 years, just doing our thing and going along, and I was just continuing to teach and all this kind of thing, and all of a sudden one day they started teaching, they started sharing these lessons with us. And you know well as we do, we have to be very judicious about what we share and who we share with, because we don't want to take away in us. But we feel so privileged to have been a part of this. And I mean, gosh, when you live it all, somebody asked us one time, said, why don't you tell me more about it? So we've got to ask the right questions.
That's right.
That's what Mandy told us. She said, you ask the right questions, I give you the right answer.
Right. And it takes years to even figure out what the questions are.
Yeah.
Because that's the way they teach. Well, Rolling Thunder, I was going to ask you if you knew Charlie Two Trees. Rolling Thunder was my first traditional teacher. He was born and raised in the Kaimichi Mountains.
Do you have a friend named Oliver?
I thought he was
Oliver. Oh, you
what's Oliver's last name?
I'm sorry.
What's the, Oliver, I'm sitting there thinking, man, that sounds familiar. Who would that be?
Oliver Loveday.
There's Oliver. When you said Oliver, I went, that. But anyway, Rolling Thunder grew up in those mountains in the 30s. And when you get a chance, you can go listen to Mala's Spotted Eagles interview about the, he basically, their people had to hide out. And, but he was brought up in the old medicine ways. He was a Chickamauga Cherokee, Pink clan, which is, you know, one of the medicine clans. But, and somewhere along the way, well, you know, he was at either Edgar Casey, he was at Casey's bedside when he died in 45. And he, at some juncture, went back to North Carolina and was accepted by and met some of the people from the Scribe Society, and you know, was taught some things. And he used to talk about having to learn the plants. And one of the famous stories was he says the final exam. He says he would take it out to a certain ridge and give it a choice between two plants. He says they look so much alike. They both had the same color berry, and the leaves were almost indistinguishable from one. He says, one was medicinal, and the other would kill you. He says, and your final exam was to be able to, you better have known which one was which. And he was, when he was in his 60s, studied by the Menninger Foundation, because he was curing people of AIDS and cancer and you know what.
Right.
But, you know, one of the unfortunate things about Cherokees that don't have spiritual ways is that they wanted to try to start to dictate, you know, what spiritual ways were. And Rolling Thunder and some other people, were blasted by officers in the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. So you've got just a huge mess. You have people that are calling Rolling Thunder a fraud, and people that are calling me a fraud, and anybody that's associated with the prophecies, whether it's Sun Bear or Ghost Wolf. But it's just really sad.
It is.
It's just really sad. And, you know, it's now known, and I understand it's even been admitted by Palak Law, that there was collusion between the U.S. government and them to keep as many people as they could off of the rolls.
Mm. And then those at Houston had gotten out of there and took them to Texas when he was out of the state up in, or the country at the time, it was a republic, when he was up in Washington, Mirabeau B. Lamar, who used to be, in my mind, and one of the Texas heroes, but no longer, he came around and wiped them all out.
Yeah.
And the Indian to him was a dead Indian, good Indian was a dead Indian, and they thought that he was building a power base, and so they just came along, and these peaceful citizens, and had been through so much already, and they just probably massive.
Well, they had $2.5 million acres of land grant.
Yeah. I mean, that it was great again.
Yeah, Mirabel Lamar was governor of Georgia during that. He's a governor of Georgia, or was from Georgia at that time, but he was the second governor of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And an Indian hater.
And, yeah, right.
And Houston had been adopted by John Jolly.
Yeah.
And married his daughter.
Right.
So they got, you know, they got. They're really. The ones that went to Mexico and stayed, even though some of them were caught and forced back across the border, was not even the clothes on their back totally naked. But the ones that ended up in Mexico were really the. And got to stay were the only ones that really unscathed. They also kept their culture.
That's just the part we're trying to find, wasn't it? We're trying to find down there. I think he actually died probably in Texas territory, didn't he?
Well,
it was Mexico at the time, but.
Actually, the Cherokees headed for the base of the Rocky Mountains, which is just below the Big Bend area of Texas, and it is Zaragoza. And that is where. Dr. Charles Gattoli, or Kingfisher Rogers, went looking. Actually, his family was the first family that went to Texas in traditional garb, even though hundreds of people had been down there. They were the first that went down traditional garb. And the people at the hacienda saw those Cherokees and said, well, they recognized them as Cherokees. So they said, oh, well, you're the first bunch of people to show up here that look like Cherokee, so guess what? We're going to take you to the cave where and show you his tomb. So these folks showed them to the tomb, and they had a prophecy that Sequoia apparently had told them, you know, who to expect and how to expect them, and the folks can read about that at CherokeeNationMexico.com. So it's a fascinating story. And,
did you ever come across the story by Traveler Bird?
Yeah.
That said it
called him Eli.
Yeah. That was, I found mention of it in a storybook that he wrote, which was children's stories from his grandfather. And at the end of that book, he talks about this other story about this is why Sequoia was out there looking for the remnants of what had started the tribe society in Cherokee, and was an interesting here, and I was looking for the rest of the other book, and he had disappeared from all local libraries. The copy doesn't exist anywhere, nobody, and we're in Snowbird Mountains, we're here where his grandpa lived, and nobody will say anything about Traveling Bird's grandpa or acknowledge who this guy is or was at all. I did find one person who did know him who met Traveling Bird and knew what he was fixing to write, and he was writing, and Sequoia was his hero, and he didn't want anything to carry the idea that Sequoia came up with this totally on his own, but he was writing a book about Sequoia, so he wouldn't give Traveler the time of day, and apparently the people themselves, I guess, eventually wherever the book turned up, it politely disappeared. So I've since talked to a fellow who teaches Cherokee studies. He's a white man, but he teaches over at the Western Carolina University. And he sent me a long piece of part of his book that he's writing, which has a lot of refuting statements about the theory couldn't be true because of ABC. I don't remember the moment, but just curious if you had come across that and what you thought about it.
Well, he was definitely tried for witchcraft, and I guess what Traveler Bird had said was that they cut off his ears, and that the picture that everybody sees of him is not. I used to know the name of the person that was the model, and
yeah, it was somebody else,
but.
It rings of something like the Mormon story about place, you know, and finding writing and
well,
the knowledge of that. And
we did have
knows,
We did. It's too bad your friend that came back to Oklahoma looking for the old Cherokee oasis. See, back in the 60s, there was a fellow here in Missouri, Richard Craker. He went to the Will Rogers Indian Club, and back then all the Cherokee people were more interested in Cheyenne ways than they were in their own ways. And there was one old Ottawa still alive. And so that Ottawa agreed to teach Grandfather Richard. And Grandfather Richard is the last Ottawa now. And he lives pretty close to Springfield, Missouri. And he's the spiritual leader for the White River and Sac River bands, the Chickamauga Cherokees. He's Cherokee and Quapaw in German. And but he's kind of the grandfather. And there still are stop dance grounds in Oklahoma. What happened was at some point in his life, Fred Bird Smith decided that he was going to revere Jesus, not worship him, but they actually adopted Jesus into the Ketuba Society. See, the Ketuba religion is basically Christianity without a redeemer. And then at that point, one of his sons, I believe it was Stokes, took half of the fire and all the wampum belts and left, got angry with their father, and they went and started another stomp dance ground, and understand that ground was called, of all things, the Redbird Smith Ground. And that kind of explains why, if you go to ketuba-society.com, ketuba-society.org, you can watch a video. It's a one-hour video that was shot back in 1984. Bill Jones of 7JRH TV Bill got permission to shoot that documentary, and you'll notice in there that Chief William Smith had to have the wampum belts delivered. Well, that's because they don't reside at the Stokes Smith ground anymore. They were taken away by Stokes Smith to the new ground. So you got family infighting, which was all prophesied, and over this and that and the other, and you get two Cherokees together. You know, the old saying around Missouri is you get two Cherokees together, and you know, after an hour you're gonna have five tribes. New tribe, you know. Which is really kind of sad. But there still are the Ketuba Society, the stomp grounds are still open. And there are Chickamauga Cherokee stomp grounds in various places in Missouri. And there's secret stomp grounds all over the South and Southeast, you know, wherever there was Cherokee people, that didn't
want to build Cherokee. Was started up in Cherokee, and a lot of the preachers in the churches said that they'd be, what a bad term is for excommunication, that they would lose their membership in the church if they were known to be a part of that. So they were telling them, you can't be Christian and Indian both. You got to do one or the other. And that was a sad thing, which is why it made it very difficult for the to ever really have a whole lot of the Native people that's part of it. It ended up attracting a lot of people from outside descendants, so those who want to be descendants who came to be a part of it.
Will, have you mentioned Stokes Smith?
Stokes Smith?
Anyway, they came here and brought a Cthulhu here. And brought it from Walker Calhoun's and got it out in Big Cove.
That's what I understand.
And so I didn't know if that was the same bunch or... Didn't say it hasn't done well here at all. They... It's real interesting. There's a guy named Russ Townsend that they hired from Telequar, his PhD in cultural preservation, that they said is what he does is... Now this tribe's got tons of money, and I mean like $160 million a year. They're going around and excavating everywhere. They're doing a lot of good, and they're also milling a lot. But anyway, whenever they do a ceremony for the entire tribe here, they bring a group in from Oklahoma to do the swamp instead of using Walker and the immigrant here. So, interesting. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, something. Well, you've got, basically, nowadays, I understand there's either three or four stomp grounds, plus the four mother stomp grounds. There used to be, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 stomp grounds back when Redbird Smith was alive. And there's a, if you go to the Cthulhu Society, Cthulhu-Society.org, and click on the word factions at the top of the page, there's a full explanation of what happened and who split with whom. And the sad thing is that the Cthulhu Society was told that in Chief William Smith in that video admitted that the Cthulhu Society is the chief medicine society or chief tribe of all the tribes in North America. And if any message were to come through, for all the tribes that would come through the Cthulhu Society. And they were also told back in the 1850s and 60s that they were supposed to bring all of the nations together and back to Great Spirit. But, you know, starting in 1866, the Cthulhu Society basically hasn't gotten off the dime since the end of the Civil War. So John Red Hat Duke took it upon himself. He was a member of the Long Hair Clan, which was the spiritual core of the Cthulhu Society. He took it upon himself to get the society off the dime. And he died. And one of the things he did was, he was the founder of the idea of Prophecy Keepers Radio, which we started that up about a month after he passed away. And he was the elder behind Prophecy Keepers and Wovoka.com also. And he was the guy that put the bug in Chad Smith's ear that ended up with Chad Smith putting out the press release that it's time for Cherokees to quit calling other Cherokees that don't have cars and wannabes. Because you have people like the head of the Cherokee Elder Society, Paul Thomas, and Paul will tell you if he was born 50 miles north of where he was, he wouldn't have a card either. And he fully accepts that 90% of the people that say that they're Cherokee are Cherokee. And what's the big deal anyway? Sorry, the big deal is made over citizenship, and then basically once the people lost the culture, which happened about 1880, then here recently, beginning basically in the 70s, the Cthulhu Band had their federal recognition in 1949, and the Cherokee Nation got their recognition. But only as a Class 3. The Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma is recognized as a Class 3 Indian organization rather than a Class 1 tribe. But they've exerted authority over more people, and the more people you have, the more money you have flowing. So basically, they kind of, and I understand particularly in the Mankiller administration, they kind of strong-armed one dictate what everybody should think as to what the culture consisted of. And at one point, there was a joint resolution, I guess it was made about 1995, a joint resolution made by the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma and the Eastern Band, naming all of the unrecognized Cherokee groups that had signed a Cherokee Unity Statement in 1994, and excoriating the states of Alabama and Georgia for recognizing state-recognized tribes, which is really kind of ridiculous because the first, and some people nowadays don't like the idea of state-recognized tribes, but hey, you know, there's state-recognized tribes that predate the United States of America in Maine, in Virginia, possibly elsewhere.
There's five in Alabama, that's where I'm from.
That's the one in the tribes I belong to. And they're all a mess.
Well, it's just in the newspaper about this.
Let me throw some things at you. We are so dictated here by the administration of the tribes, and it's really interesting. But anyway, that's not the end of this. When we first came up here, we met a fellow named Bill Jackson, who was one of the first guys up here to have a master's degree, but he came from a very traditional family here in Snowbird. And Gil was the one who told us, he said, you're not going to find anybody that knows it all. You're going to find a little here and a little there, that kind of thing. And unfortunately, in the 15, 16 years we've been here, we've just seen so many of the old people die and go away. So even more are gone.
Oh, see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
See, what I tell people, that we all come from a Christian background, is that we've got to start listening to the prophecies and the teachings of the people of this land and this conference. They know, like Lee Brown doing that thing on the Hopi prophecy, the Cherokee board. I don't know if you've got a copy of that. I can make a copy and send it to you.
Have you got a copy of the video?
Oh, yeah.
Of the Lee Brown video?
Yeah, Lee Brown.
Oh, okay. Because somebody in a Native Prophecy, we've got 300 people on the Native Prophecy Council Yahoo list, and they were trying to find a copy of Lee Brown's video to send, and we'd like to.
It's kind of rugged, but I got it.
Yeah, we're trying to get one. See, we've got, and one of the things I want to tell you is that the capability we have, and they say the way to sell videos online or audio is to offer people a good clip of it. And, you know, we can help you with, Ghostwolf and I can help you with those with your videos, and we can
right.
We can put them up on our server space, you know, where you click on your website to watch this video, and it'll be over on our server space, because, well, we've got the, you know, we're doing this for Out There TV, and we're archiving several different things for the Cthulhu Society, and we help you out with that too. And we just have to get a video card so we can convert and plug a VCR into our computer and copy that. We'll have that pretty quick though. But actually, one of my friends him getting the time to do it. But yeah, there's a lot of wonderful things we can do, and the Lee Brown videotape is one thing. But that, yeah, that Lee Brown called Cherokee Prophecy. But anyway, what he's really talking about there is Canadian Aleuts bringing a Tibetan message. If you read in there, it's really kind of interesting. He's talking about the Canadian Aleuts were given a message from the Tibetans to carry. So it's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the people can hear me talk anytime.
Well, it was just always like Joseph Campbell said, the old time religion is so good and so profound 50 years ago that it wouldn't.
Yeah.
There are certain basic things that there's such things like to say here, if you hear a crowd, if you listen close enough, you can hear a crowd in a second.
Yeah.
And they are very big on this. Randy Clark, did you tell him about the prophecy's name?
No, I haven't told him about that yet.
Yeah, her mom was a midwife, and she was a supplier. Her dad was Ron Runny Wolf, and Molly was, it's a whole picture. Oh, let me say this real quick. Mom, don't let me forget that, but let me point this one out to you real quick. Mandy had two brothers, and I hope I'm not getting invited, so no quote names on this one, okay? But anyhow, she had two brothers, one named Lloyd, who knew medicine, and he treated people only on the rest, okay? Their people. She had another brother named Harmony, and Harmony got so good, and he was always off the rest. He was tickling and relationing.
He was Roland Thunder's teacher, Harmony Sequoia.
Yeah. He was wrestling. He was in David Crockett movies. He was in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
A bunch of the squires of the swimming for anything. But anyway, there was a fellow named J.T. Garrett, who was administrator of the hospital,
mm-hmm.
asking around me real, real well.
J.T. and his son. J.T. and his father wrote the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote a book on it. But anyway, it was real interesting that Mandy very rarely talks about those two guys, okay? But they knew medicine, and he had a cancer cure that Mayo Clinic tried in the world.
Well,
Dominique
had a cancer cure.
Yeah, Dominique had a cancer cure. So anyway, now, I'm getting lucky myself. Oh, I'm Molly.
So Molly was on that is Dominique's mother, and a lot of what started his path of knowledge
was
really
what
apparently
what Molly
knew, and then
see here,
other folks.
A medicine person in the family, like Jane, cannot do medicine on her children. Only an uncle or somebody else could do medicine on her children. But she could do medicine on anybody else's children. See what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Well, you really found that interesting. But anyway, Molly said she told Mandy, because there was 12 in the family. Said that the day would come that there would be black belts built through these mountains. These mountains never had
ribbons.
They'd be black ribbons. Black ribbons, I mean not belts, but ribbons.
They
put those things through the mountain and put them on there. And since they've done that, we have windstorms. They dug up the rivers, made dams, all this kind of thing. Now they're flooding we never had before.
Except you guys have had the little bugs that would run on these ribbons, and the people would ride in and carry them places, and she would hope that she would live to see those things that she could ride in. She remembered when she did see them, she could see them up there, and she thought it was those little things that her mother or grandmother talked about, and wanted her daddy to go up there and catch one of them, and she could play with it. It was hard, but
and one of the things was she saw people flying on birds.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the kind of things that have been passed down.
And they also talked about them in their family about the they believe that the Okina that
going around in Appalachia would roll over one day, and that means a big earthquake in these mountains. North Carolina has the most tremors of any state in the country. You just don't feel them because they're a different kind of tremor than what we have out in California. But we do have a hot spring not far from Asheville, which is where the magma is closest to the earth in the mountains. And the earth does move slightly. You see buckling in the highways all the time going up there. And I would assume that if there is a big shaking or anything, probably would put the center of the body somewhere around there. But there are known earthquakes. I just have an article from George Ellison, another local naturalist. He had put together a lot of these stories about the earthquakes in the mountains, and they were known to happen from time to time and change a spring head, and they turn into what's called a citified spring, where it would be 7 minutes between when the water would come out.
I asked one of the elders one time about Indian medicine. She said, Indians have medicine unless you have an Indian name and know how to call in the heart of a human spirit. That's what it won't be any good.
Mm-hmm.
She said, white people have their medicine.
So the Indians have their illnesses and their medicine for those illnesses, and the white man had medicine for his white man's illnesses.
Now, which is really, the Indian traditional name, which brings up another pet peeve. Who is the past chief up there at Eastern Man? A man.
There was George Dugan, and then Michelle Hicks is the current one.
Who was before Joyce?
Leon Jones.
Now Leon Jones put out a public statement against traditional names, literally slapping a Catoosa elder like John Red Hat Duke in the face because which shows you where some people's minds are.
Let me tell you one thing about what we have learned. Okay, we have heard so, and these Indians will take you in a heartbeat. They'll take you anything they think you want to know.
Yeah.
And when they find out, they'll put you through every test in the world. When they find out you're real, they'll shoot you square and square, okay? But what we're about is to be as authentic as we possibly can. You know what I mean? There are so many people out there, like me. My dad was 3-4 years, he never said a word about it. But there's so many out there that this means so much to them. They don't want foo-foo, which is so far in Christianity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They want real. They want authenticity. They want real world. How do we grab that magic of the noble red man that existed so many years ago? It's hard working in that environment.
Well, they've got an ideal area to live in. Well, they never did find old, what's his name that they accused of bombing the abortion
of. Let me tell you a story.
Hang on just a second, because let me make one comment. The sheriff of the westernmost county is Cherokee County, right? Of North Carolina.
It's in Bacon
County. Graham and Bacon.
Oh, no, Graham County, I believe it was. He said, and I made a note of it at that time when they were looking for him. But he said that guy can stay out in these mountains forever. He said that there's plenty to eat out there, right off the trees and bushes. He can stay out there forever.
Right.
And caves. Mo Greg couldn't find him.
Well, let me tell you a story. We lived in a place at that time right above the res. So he probably hit out a lot. We used to take in homeless guys, Vietnam guys, and one of the guys we took in that lived with us on and off for 3 years was an instructor for the Army Rangers.
Uh-huh.
And he knew everything that Eric was going to say. We got a young man who was at the house about 2 weeks ago that was good friends with him. He did real well. So he used to go hunting and tracking because he was in the service with us.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we got a phone call one Saturday. Right after he was arrested on that Friday and for Ireland for National Citizen Times, and they said, we want you to do an article on what he probably did to survive for 5 years in the woods. So she did it, and they put it in the paper the next day, that Sunday morning, in the National Times. by 9 o'clock, he had a phone call from UBC that said, would you please go down to Nantahala Gorge, where that's where the crystal was dropped from the Moon East Council House for the Moon East. That's another story.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, we went down there, and they didn't know, but we took the place where he probably hung out a lot. And they filmed her, showing the kind of things he did knowingly. The next morning, we got a phone call from the Atlanta Constitution, said we were going to syndicate an article on what he probably did for medicines and foods for the last 5 years in the woods. Well, at the same time, they gave him Jim's number that they could call and get information on probably what he really did, because Jim trained this guy, not this guy that got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
By Wednesday, we got a phone call from CNN saying, would you come to Atlanta on the live interview and bring some of those news with you to show what he is. For 30 minutes, he sat in CNN's studio, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Frederica Whitfield, and he just permeated that place with the aroma from those beautiful plants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll be here next week. We got 700,000 guests on our computer. It was unreal. Everybody's wanting to go to the woods and really get away from this crazy world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, one thing I made very certain that I didn't say, because we only live 50 miles from less than that, 30 miles from Andrews, and in that area, and I wasn't about to mention a lot of what I knew, which is he not only forages land, but he can forage all those homes up there in those woods, which he did, and admitted it later. He told one of the best sheriff deputies, he said, man, he said, that was great Moosecrack ice cream in your outside refrigerator.
Yeah.
Everybody has a refrigerator freezer sitting out in their garage or carport.
Uh-huh.
And nobody locks that. How do you lock one? But he would go in, he did a little here and a little there, and even spent the night in one lady's car that was unlocked, and it was cold, and he spent the night in the car. If she knew the next day, she was sure that she closed the door, and the door was slightly ajar. And just all kinds of things.
Because he didn't want to matter.
Campgrounds, he forged campgrounds for what people leave behind.
But let me give you some other goodies. Mamie talks about when she was a little girl, running with her father would get her out of bed and Molly, and it was a foot race. This is very important. A foot race out of that house to go down straight for to call in that water 7 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And many times it even breaks the ice. That's how recent it was that they followed the old ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so since my health is bad, I can't do that anymore. But I get up, first thing I do, to rinse my face 7 times, one of the 7 directions, walk outside and face the east, and take that father from where they live. That's the way they live.
Mm-hmm.
And it is still alive and well.
Sure. That's a great way to honor them.
People, they, you talk about prejudice, it's ungodly up here. Now, it's better where we live, because these people, they didn't have, well, we only have 6,000 people in this county, and 600 of them are Cherokee, because nobody is. So they had to go to high school and all this kind of thing, and I mean, it's just, there's been so much intermarrying over the years, that this whole entire area is well-versed in the ways.
It's been different from family to family.
Sure.
And they know, most of them know that their kids have got to make it in the white man's world, and so they really encourage them, you know, to get an education and keep going and learning business, and they have working with them if they have a business. And
but I have to say, Will, that Michelle Dix, he's a young man, that's a strange name for me, and Michelle's probably mid-30s, okay? He was hired by Dave Brown, who was a council member here, oh gosh, 8 years ago. He is the guy that came up with the idea when they brought in gambling. And I mentioned this to Ned Long, who was an elder, that you got to take that money and make sure they've got to set up, put in escrow the money for the kids who cannot get that money. So when a Cherokee child was born, at that time, they were 19 years of age, they put it into an escrow fund, and by the time they turned 19, they got a good $60,000 to $70,000 in there toward their education and providing them. So much emphasis is placed now here on them that they get a home, you know, so many of them, They got to put money down on it. They got to pay a bunch of payment like everybody else does. They got to buy this now. They have to pay for their own insurance. But they just brought it to Cherokee Hospital, and it is the state of the art. The problem is, they can't get any doctors or administrators to come and run the place. So those are the dynamics that's going on. It's all change. It is all changing now. But they are placing a huge emphasis, and Michelle is the one who designed this. And now, almost invariably, a chief here, an Eastern man, won't last. It's just the way it is.
Politics is just too nasty.
You know, you've got three geographical areas, you know, and within the main confines of Cherokee, you got Paintstown, you got Wolftown, you got 3200 acres right, you got, what else is that?
Wolftown.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And most of them, there's still a few family names like Swimmer or Chief Tessie or something, or Wachaka that you know, okay.
Walking Stick.
Obviously, yeah, Walking Stick, obviously, Cherokee. But there's many like serious names like, you know, Michelle Hicks and Jerry Coleman and, well, what's your Indian name, Jerry Coleman?
Well, hey, I'm sorry, but Chief Hicks.
Chief Hicks, he says to us, he's dead.
Yeah, I mean, Hicks' name, the chief of the Texas Cherokees is D.L. Pappy Hicks. Pappy, inside Special Forces Green Beret Society, he's the most famous Green Beret there ever was. He's the one that ran the secret war in Laos, Cambodia under Chief Bang Pao, and he's been chief of the Texas Cherokees for a long time there, seeking federal recognition. And Chief Rogers, the chief of the federally recognized in Mexico, the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, has asked Chief Hicks to be his war chief. But Hicks, there used to be a Cherokee triumvirate before the 1827 Constitution of three chiefs. As I recall, it was Hicks, I'm getting old, but Hicks was one of them, and one of them was Hicks, Ridge, and somebody else. I can't remember.
Right.
While they're putting together, but
you got to run this one past you. The guy that we rented from was William Jackson, and that was Phil Jackson's brother. Okay.
Jacksons are Cherokee.
What about now?
Are you going to say the Jacksons are Cherokee?
Oh, they hated it.
Including Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson, but he said, oh, you know where he is. But they're a huge traditional family. Well, anyway, they still speak the language. We learned a lot from them. But anyway, I asked him one time because here in Robinsonville for 10 years, they won the state championship in high school football. And I asked William one day, I said, they had to play two coaches. And asked him one time, I said, why were you guys such a student athlete? He said, it was the only way we could go out and beat up a white boy's ass right.
Of course, that's, you know.
He pours a fight, I don't mind telling
you. Yeah, that doesn't even have to be racial. That can just between high schools that like to beat up each other, you know.
Well, one of the things that they're resurrecting here, and it's alive, and it's just taught me so much. The Zombie is still a big thing here behind the Army, yeah, because they help each other.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to get that they're bringing back the stickball game.
Oh.
And I was standing there one day, and they were going at it. This young boy came home with beautiful bright eyes, and he was smiling that light up the sky. And he was bleeding, and some grass stains all over him, and he just had the daylight to beat out of it. Because he, unfortunately, was the guy holding the ball, and the rest of it beat way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he just aimed at me. I said, you need to go out there with that ball first. I said, I can't do this. That's my daughter. And I thought,
see, that game's part of the old Cherokee religion.
Yeah, I think it, but I saw it. Yeah. When they did the stomp here, I told Ira, they had 6-year-old kids to 8-year-old women big as this door right here. And unfortunately, that the little woman sort of fell down and fell down. And all those little babies trying to help her get up, everybody just cracked up laughing.
Oh, yeah.
It was a joyous thing. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They have one of the old time get-togethers, if you will, trying to keep some of those traditional ways of doing things. It's like an old timers day for the Indians. A lot of the areas of the national park do it as an old timers day, and the white settlers, descendants of the white families, will come and talk. You know, they'll make hominy and make soap, and you know, talk about old time stuff. Well, the Indians do it, but only this one little bunch, this snowbird group, called Fading Forces. And every May, during Memorial Day weekend, for one Saturday afternoon, third Saturday in May, they go out to Coburn Creek, where by the Coburn Church over there, the field, and they invite the people who come, because it's, everybody's welcome to show up. Bring a turtle shell dirt from home if you have one. If not, that's all right. And the tribal members will do this seven times around the mound. They do a mound building ceremony to start off with. The only place I know is that they do it. And they'll do that, but then invite the other folks to come in and sing and go seven times around, you know. Then they start the day, and they do stickball, they do singing. In Cherokee, they have food. Traditional Cherokee foods and some of the usual some wild plants that are in there. That somebody there with the table on medicines, a few things like yellow root and sassafras and a few other things. And there's crafts with pottery and basket making and what was it? One fellow did coffins, didn't he?
Let me tell you this.
The coffins. So there's a whole bunch of things that they do just for that one day. And they will talk to anybody that comes along. Most of the time, they're very quiet.
One thing they do here, and this moves me greatly, is that when somebody dies, they have a runner that will go through the community and knock on the door, no matter what time of day or night it is, to say, well, that's one. Tell them who it was. And they have people who, without saying a word, go. Group of guys will go and dig the grave, and another group of people will go over and start to carry the body, and another group will go over and start building the coffin. And that is a huge part of this culture still. And like when Moses Boshashi died, he was just a loose of a man, and it took six strong guys to haul that man's body across a couple of streams. And up on that mountain where he chose to be buried, and it was white people.
Mm-hmm.
Not that much of that. And, I mean, it's still part of the culture. I mean, when they grieve 3 days, they have set up, and I mean, it's singing, and it's just sick food. But it's the way they honor that soul. And I don't care if William Gaskell just fell out now. I apologize when he said he did when he was 47 years old. But though they honored him for what he did in his life, he did a great thing before the boots got him.
You know? Yeah. Of that, because probably
mine's a roadie. I've got to get it done.
Third or fourth.
Put it on DVD.
Yeah, that's what we want to do.
Well, ours was probably several generations.
I didn't even know that it existed until a couple of a few weeks ago, and somebody on the Eddie Prophecy Council said, yeah, well,
we've had it for 10 years. It is what he did in what I've been told, he lived in the States with the prophecy for everybody. He's really a Baha'i, okay?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But you know, I mean, he lived so good at what Grandfather David did.
That's right.
And I believe in his very, very strong.
And who was it we saw in the front row when we looked at it again?
Trimble.
Oh, no one but
Father Day.
Yeah.
He's controversial, but that's another.
You come across that name?
Yeah, he's a good friend of Ghost Wilson. He's fighting the IRS right now.
Oh, yes, he should.
And,
I think the world of the man's worth, but boy, he's a Dan Winters was where he got a lot of his information, and Dan said that, so the guy just not the most helpful, so that's where that goes.
Yeah, well, in the New Age movement, everything's just kind of as a fluid as
what. You know?
They learned a lot from but looking back at Lou Graham's tape one time, he looked and said, holy cow, let's see that on the front row, there's the symbol. He's there in the tape listening to Lou Graham.
Now, where did your wife from?
She was born in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and her mom grew up in she used to play on the Pea Ridge battlefield site in northwestern Arkansas, which is the old Cherokee Reservation.
Right.
And Betty's mother's mother was an old granny woman, and the family carried tales about. I can't remember who it was that somebody had a wart, and they had an old witch woman that if you go to her door and give her some coins, she'd take her warts away. Of course, she ended up with all the warts. But that
right, got a wart, yeah.
That's how she made her living. And but see, people understood all that magic, and yeah, I guess it was her mom that was her mom that had the wart, and her mother's mother took her to the witch and was taken away. And that's a virus. How do you move a virus around?
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. But they grew up. I guess when Betty's grandmother, when her grandfather passed away, there was some money in the. She got cheated out of the money by somebody in Fort Smith, and they basically, they lived in any shack they could find that you couldn't throw anything bigger than a cat through the wall. They'd repair it, and then they'd go live off wildcrafting. That's how they did it. And back then, you know, in the 30s and 40s, there were still little orchards around. You could still forage in Arkansas. But, my mother, the family story is in 1944 when my Betty was one, I guess somebody was sick in the family, and Betty's grandmother started whipping up some kind of herbal cure, and Betty's mother said, where'd you learn to do that? And Betty's grandmother said, from the Indians. And Betty's mom said, what Indian? She says, my mother. and you got to understand, Betty's mom, Rosalie, had dated. There are still some full blood in Arkansas. She dated one, and he was a drunk. And she said, well, you tell she ever saw that was Indians were all, you know, drunks at the time. And she said, well, you might be a damn Indian, but I ain't no damn Indian. So that was the last that the grandma ever did about being an Indian, you know. But Betty, the clan lineage came down perfectly in a female order from the Pink clan. And the interesting was since been established that there's an unbroken female chain line back to the clan.
Uh-huh.
And Betty, some years ago, we went to a place where somebody knew how to find out how big your aura was and find out
how old. Right.
Well, I understand that really, I heard that part that when I was on your message, so I was listening to that. What I always understood was that everybody's aura is anywhere from 4 to 6 feet out. That's why when somebody comes into the room, that you don't even see them coming in the room, but you sense that they're there. So that aura precedes you into the room. And it can give you creepy feeling or a negative feeling or like, oh, who's here, you know.
Well, I think that hers literally filled the room. It was much larger than
wow,
which is about 3 feet.
And Jerry agrees with your thoughts on the fact that when you are doing healing, because he's got something special about his hands, and people just gravitate to him as if he's, I don't know, we've thought many times he probably was a father confessor in many lifetimes and has lived as a priest in many, many different cultures, because people just tell him everything, and they just be sitting next to him on a plane, or maybe they're in a crowded room, and next thing you know, he knows a whole lot more about him than he would like to know.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony. So it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Well, ever since
that
Betty, was little. Hey, Betty.
But he said, it definitely goes to
the phone
in
Mute Iowa, honey.
It depletes your energy when you do healing.
Pick up the phone, honey, in Mute Iowa.
Hello, Anna.
Hello,
recorded.
Good to meet you.
Hi, you too. Even if it's iPhone, we're fixing to send a Christmas package of a whole bunch of things that I think Bill will enjoy. And
oh, good.
I don't think there'll be duplicates of anything you've already seen or heard, but if so, then you just pass them on.
We just bought your first two volumes of your videos off of eBay.
Oh, great. Okay.
And of your volume 1 and volume 2.
Appreciate that. We'll put all this together with that when we get it ready to send. We'll add some things.
We've got quite a bit coming your way.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases.
I'm Austin Powell. I like Gas Mojo. The very sexy, very sweet stone, yeah.
But you gotta have Gas Mojo, baby, yeah!
What a gas, baby, yeah!
I'm going to go back to the 60s and steal Austin Powers' Gas Mojo.
Hi, folks. This is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of GasMojo.net Engine Booster. Immediate 25% fuel savings with GasMojo.net in just 5 minutes after installation. And your grandma can do it, so you just strap it on your fuel line, folks. Some customers report much greater savings. The GasMojo.net Engine Booster catalytically conditions any hydrocarbon fuel, be it gasoline, propane, diesel fuel. It's not a filter, it contains no metals, magnets, or toxic substances, and uses no electricity. The GasMojo.net engine booster unit is a specially designed tube containing a completely safe proprietary media. It's a passive fuel treatment process designed to disperse hydrocarbons for better performance and mileage, and also to break down carbon and other contaminants. Unlock your fuel's hidden energy potential now with GasMojo.net. And folks, you get a 100% money-back guarantee on this. I've got one on my car. It was developed by an old friend of mine, and he's an honorable person. You got to try it, folks. and go open a bank account now for all the money you're going to save. GasMojo.net, GasMojo.net. Just do it.